on here. Okay. All right. Jeremiah chapter 1. We're on now. So. All right. Let's have another word of prayer. Lord, we are so thankful for your wonderful presence. Lord, we're thankful for being able to come and remember you at your table. And Lord, just that the fresh reminder of how we have been released and you have paid that price. And Lord, we're thankful now that you've given us your word. You've given us your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that as we come to your word now, we could really feast upon your word. Lord, you would allow us to not even be distracted by technical glitches and stuff, but really know the anointing and enabling of your Holy Spirit to be able to be encouraged in these days that we're living in. We realize the times are difficult, very perilous, but we're thankful, Lord, that you have those words for us to encourage us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if we can look at Jeremiah chapter 1. All right, I got this. Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah, Jeremiah chapter 1. Thanks, Josh. We'll read verses 1 through 3. It says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the exile of Jerusalem in the 5th month." Now, what I'd like for us to consider as we're together is, let's see. The life and the ministry of Jeremiah, or the person and ministry of Jeremiah. And today, we're really going to focus on the person of Jeremiah. And then, probably in a few weeks, Lord willing, we'll look at the ministry of Jeremiah. And we could ask, why are we looking at Jeremiah? And we're looking at Jeremiah that it would be a help to us, because in Jeremiah, we see the training of God's servant in the end days. We're all very aware of the days we're living in. And we see how the Lord called one, a Jeremiah, to come and be his mouthpiece during an extremely difficult time. It was probably, some would say, it's the darkest age of Israel. And so we want to really allow the Lord to train us, because we're living in dark days. And we need to have that same spirit of Jeremiah. Now, we do want to clarify that we might not all be called to be prophets, but we're all called to be servants. Each and every one of us, the Lord has called us. So we can't just say, well, Jeremiah was a prophet and I'm not, so that excludes me. No. Each and every one of us has been called to be servants of the Lord. And the Lord, in His great, magnificent display of diversity, uses us in various ways. He used Jeremiah one way. He uses us many different ways. And so, but the principles of training we find are very similar in each way whenever the Lord calls us. And so we want the Lord, we want to come, Lord, and allow Him to be training us for the days that we're living in. Now, as we come to Jeremiah, as we look at the setting of Jeremiah, we realize these verses that we just read, that he was there living during the time of Josiah. It was actually three kings, Josiah, Jehoiakim, and Zedekiah. Now, the last two, they were simply vassals of other kingdoms, Egypt and Babylon. They really had no authority or power. Josiah, though, was one that was along of the lineage of David and was raised up to really be able to draw the people of God back. And we actually see within Josiah's heart, he had a great heart for the Lord, and we're very thankful for that. Also, let's remember when we're looking at Jeremiah that just about 100 years before this, they had seen their brethren in the northern kingdom. They had seen their brethren in Israel be taken captivity into Assyria. You know, they had, even though the Lord had called to the northern kingdom to repent and return, There was no response. And because of their lack of response to God's call, the Lord took them. They were judged and they were taken into captivity. We see God's love also displayed to the people of Judah through various prophets. Already we've had Joel and Isaiah, Micah and Zephaniah have been sent. But as we look through the nation of Israel there, or through the tribe of Judah in the southern kingdom at this time, again, we see very little response from the Lord's people. And it's tragic that if we look at ourselves today, the Lord calls over and over again to the people of God. But how much of a response is there? Tragic in those days, there was so little response. But in spite of this, even there was a little response, so little, the Lord in His great love, He raised up a Jeremiah. He raised up a Jeremiah because He had a desire. He wanted to wake up that southern kingdom of Judah. He wanted to wake them up. And we can call Jeremiah that last cry of the Lord's love before judgment. We see how after Jeremiah prophesied up to the time when they were taken away into Babylonian captivity, he kept crying out, sharing what the word of the Lord was. But tragically, again, there was so little response. The people had the Lord warned, the Lord spoke, the Lord poured out His love through tears in many different ways. But tragically, the people of God just continued their own way, doing their own thing. And the Lord did end up bringing about judgment. We're thankful that, again, today in His great love, He's crying out to us. In that similar spirit, the Lord is crying out to us. And are we those that can respond? As we look at Jeremiah, just that his person and ministry, we'll see there are many lessons that we can learn. We'll see that there's many similarities between the spirit of the time there and the spirit of the time now. And we want to though be those that have that ear to hear what the Lord is saying. Because we see God's great cry of love. Now, when God cries out in love, God's love is many-sided. We see many aspects of God's love. But it's always with one purpose in view. When God cries out to us, when He displays His love for us, as He displayed His love for us when we took this table, it's one purpose. It's to draw our hearts to Him and that our eyes are fully fixed upon Him. That we would be like those doves, having a single eye. We would have a single heart towards Him, that He could use us and we could be the people of God that He's calling us to be instead of distracted by so many things. This was the cry of God's love through Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, we see how not only we see God's great love, but we see aspects of this love that quite often we don't see. We see in Jeremiah the sorrow of God's love. When there's a genuine love there, anybody that's been in love has experienced sorrow. If you don't love someone and something happens, there's very little sorrow about that. We also see there's a jealousy of God's love. God's love, God is jealous. We know in the overall, He's jealous that that bride be made ready for His Son. He's jealous that we as the people of God would return to that simplicity and purity of our devotion to Him. He's jealous for us. And also we see the judgment of God's love. Sometimes we don't equate judgment and God's love together. But as God in His great love, when He sees something that is unholy, it would actually be a failure of His love to point that out. When He sees something that's not of Him, when He sees something that's dishonoring and unholy going on among the people of God, it's in His great love. He points it out and He judges that. That's probably one of the, as a parent, as you discipline your children, you have to point out those things that they're doing wrong. And it's a judgment that comes in and that discipline that comes. But all of this, again, it's with one purpose. The end is not judgment. The end is to draw our hearts back to Him and that we can be that people that He desires for us to be. As we see in God's great love, that the Lord is, as He's calling us to wake up, the question before each and every one of us is, will we respond? We've heard many cries in recent years. We hear many cries in recent days to return to the Lord. We heard one last week through Kenny. He shared about the passion we saw in the life of David. We hear cries over and over again of God calling us to return to Him. But are we responding? Are we within our individual hearts responding to the Lord? And this is what He's really after in the days we're living in. As we said, during Jeremiah's time, he ministered during that reign of Josiah. And if we look at the real true spiritual condition there, we see Josiah, he had a great heart for the Lord. And he was driving out the idols. He was restoring the temple. He was bringing things back to the way God's desire was. But as we see in the prophet Jeremiah, even though Josiah's heart was right with the Lord, the people's heart was not. They were just going through the motions. They were just going through a lot of outward form, a lot of religious activity. They used all the correct words. And they were doing things in such an outward way. But it really wasn't honoring to the Lord. It was very similar to how Paul writes in 2 Timothy that one of the characteristics of the end days that there will be a people of God that hold to a form of godliness but deny the very power of it. The people at this time under Jeremiah, the people when at the end of the first century, at the close of the New Testament, ones had lost sight of being that privileged and called people of God. Have we lost sight of that? Do we realize the privilege that we've been brought into? Do we realize the calling that God has upon our hearts and our lives? Because it's one of the characteristics of God's people in the end times is that we really don't know our true condition. It's very sad. If you look at the end of the Old Testament in Malachi, they had no idea what their true condition was. They thought they were one thing. And God says, He said, you don't love me. He said, what do you mean we don't love you? We do this. You've robbed me. You're stealing. You're defaming me. You're doing all these things. And they said, what? We're doing all this for you, Lord. They were totally oblivious to their true condition. We see it in Laodicea at the end of the New Testament. They thought they were rich, but they were blind and poor and naked. But God, in His great love, He didn't give up on His people. He didn't give up during the time of Jeremiah. He didn't give up during the time of the New Testament. And He doesn't give up in the days that we're living in also. And we're very thankful that as we look at a Jeremiah, as we look at him, we can see how he responded to the Lord. In spite of many difficulties, in spite of a lot of circumstances and situations, we can see how the Lord used a Jeremiah. And we're thankful for his response because Jeremiah, he saw God's heart. He saw what God's desire was for the people of God. But as he looked among the people of God, he saw their true condition. And there was a great contrast there. Because when he saw what was upon God's heart, but when he saw the condition of the people, there was a great contrast. And it's tragic today in Christendom, brothers and sisters, that so much of what God desires and what our condition is are not in sync. We're going one way, and he's desiring something else. And we see how the Lord raised up a Jeremiah to bring back. And Jeremiah was the second thing that touches me the most about him was that he was so faithful in spite of the conditions that he lived in. And we'll go into this more later. But he, in spite of being pretty much alone, there was a few that were with him. But in spite of that, he kept crying out and pleading to the people of God. He was warning them. He was telling them of their condition. He was saying, you're going down this path of destruction. God's calling you to return to Him. Come back. Repent. It's beautiful in Jeremiah's ministry that we'll look at more in a couple weeks. Every time he brings a judgmental message to the people, there's always with hope. There's always, repent, return unto me, and I will bless you. Return to the joy that I have for you. This is not a condemning thing. It's pointing them out with that purpose of returning and entering into all of the joy and the blessing that God has for them. Oh, but we see within Jeremiah the very nature of end-time ministry. It's a ministry that's not appreciated. It's a ministry that is having to be faithful even though there's very little response. There's a ministry that has to go on in spite of many outward conditions and circumstances. We find Jeremiah being faithful. So as we look at him, we pray the Lord would really help us and that we could relate to Jeremiah. And he would, we not just say, oh, he's this great man of God. No, Jeremiah, we could say, he put his pants on just like the rest of us. He was just a regular old guy, and God called him, just like he's called each and every one of us. And so let's look and consider Jeremiah. Who is this person? Now, as we look at Jeremiah chapter 1, we'll find that really there are four things that we can see in this first part of Jeremiah chapter 1. We'll see how God entreats Jeremiah. God entreats. He cries out to Jeremiah. He calls to Jeremiah to come unto him. We see how the Lord encourages Jeremiah. He strengthens him. He comforts him. We see how the Lord equips Jeremiah. He's not asking Jeremiah to go out on his own, but the Lord provides for him. And we see how the Lord empowers Jeremiah. So as we look at this, may the Lord help us that we could see how, in a similar way, the Lord entreats us. He encourages us. He equips us and He empowers us to serve Him and to be about His business. Let's look now in Jeremiah 1. We'll read verses 4 through 9. And verses 4 through 9 of Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. When the Lord entreats and when the Lord calls Jeremiah, it's a beautiful testimony of what the Lord has done for each. He's done for Jeremiah, and He's done for each and every one of us. His wonderful testimony there in verse 5, it says, I have formed you. Do we realize that each and every one of us are fearfully and wonderfully made? He said, I knew you. It wasn't like all of a sudden you appeared and God discovered you. No, He has known us before we were born. He says, I consecrated you. The New American says consecrated. Most translations say sanctified, meaning I set you apart. I've set you apart. I've made you holy that you would be serving me. And I'm the one that's appointed you to be that prophet of the nations. And in the same way, God has done this for each and every one of us. Do we realize the greatness of all that the Lord has done for us? Do we realize the greatness and the majesty of His great love, that He knows each and every one of us before we were even born? When we were in our mother's womb, well, He noticed us, and He's formed us, and He has a purpose. God has a purpose for each and every one of us, that we could be those that are coming into and fulfilling His heart's desire. He has this desire that each and every one of us would come under His headship of knowing Him in a great way, that we could be able to really respond to the call that He has upon our life. Sometimes we can just think that we're here by happenstance, just by chance. Oh, this is where I ended up. None of us are here by chance. This verse speaks very real to each and every one of us. God has a specific call for each one of us. Sometimes this is where we start rationalizing. We say, oh, I can see why the Lord has a call for a Jeremiah. I can see where the Lord has a call for a Stephen Kong. Oh, I can see how the Lord has a call here, but not for me. Not for me. No. The Lord has a call. He's fearfully and wonderfully made you just as He made Jeremiah and just as He has made every other person. And He has a call that He wants each one of us to respond unto. And we see Jeremiah's response. It would actually be pretty much the similar response that we would have. And Jeremiah responds and he says, "Alas, O God, you know, I don't know how to speak." If we're looking at verses 6 through 8, he says, "You know, I'm a youth. I can't do this. I can't do that." And that's, we can understand that. And in many ways, this is not, Jeremiah's not rebelling. He's just saying, there's a humility here. He's coming. He said, "Lord, I see how magnificent you are." The words he uses in the Hebrew there for the Lord, it's Lord sovereign and mighty. He's acknowledging who He is. And in the light of who God is, Jeremiah is seeing himself as nothing. It does remind us of back in Luke when that angel visited Mary and what the Lord spoke through that angel to Mary. And Mary said, "Well, how can this be? It's not doubting, it's not rebellion, it's beyond imagination that the sovereign, mighty King of the universe would choose one like a Jeremiah at this time. It's beyond our imagination that the sovereign, mighty King of kings and Lord of lords would choose to work out His heart and His purpose through each one of us. At times we can understand how He would use others. But me? How would He do that?" And this is what Jeremiah is saying. He says, "Lord, I am but a youth. I'm but a youth and I can't." We see how the Lord not only entreats Jeremiah, but the Lord encourages Jeremiah. And how does He encourage Jeremiah? With these wonderful, simplistic little words, "I am with you. I am with you to deliver you." Those words ring throughout the ages. And I pray that within my heart and each of our hearts, the words of the Lord to Jeremiah, "I am with you to deliver you," would be very real and very present to each one of us. They're powerful words. There's a simplicity to these words, but there's a power in these words. Do we look down upon them as elementary? These are essential within our Christian, within our daily life. Do we know the "I am" being with us every day? All that He is and all that He's done is with us. As we have that familiar verse out of Isaiah 43, where the Lord testifies there in Isaiah 43, He says, "Thou art mine." He's speaking of Israel, but He's also speaking to each and every one of us. "Thou art mine. I've called you by name. And even though you might pass through the waters and the rivers, they'll not overflow you. Even though you go through the fire, you won't be scorched." Why? "Because I am with you to deliver you." The "I am," that Emmanuel, is with us, brothers and sisters, every day. But we fail to recognize that. I fail quite often. And then I find myself getting excited and all agitated and everything and making Stella's day miserable. But then I can come back to that and just say, I don't have to do it. I'm pro at that. But we see how this "I am" is with us. And it's really it's a wonderful way to encourage someone that's going through a trial. You know, the Lord doesn't come in and say, "Jeremiah, you need to just straighten up." The Lord doesn't come in and say, "You need more faith. Oh, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that." The Lord simply says, "I am with you." He doesn't say, "You need more patience, you need this, you need that." No, He simply says, "I am with you." He doesn't point at our lack, but He draws our eyes to Him. He gets our eyes off of ourselves, of all of our lack, and our eyes are drawn to Him. Now, do we experience the "I am" every day? Now, we might not, when we stop and think about it, even when we gather this morning around the Lord's table, we gather at prayer meeting, and even as we're going through our daily lives, oftentimes we might not say, we would say, "Why didn't you pray Sunday morning?" Well, I'm a youth. No. Maybe we draw it back to ourselves and we get our eyes off of who the Lord is. And we're faced with, "Well, I can't pray that, I can't do this, I can't do that." And we're wallowing in who we are. And the Lord is simply saying, "Get your eyes off of yourself." The only way we can pray, the only way we can respond in worship is by seeing Him. Our worship to Him is a response to seeing Him. And so we don't want to rule out, because it ends up paralyzing us. It ends up making us we become not functioning members. I was going to say unfunctioning, but that's not a right word, I guess. But we'll make up a word. We're unfunctioning members in the body of Christ. You know, so because we sit there and we say, "Oh, well, I don't know how to pray. They pray so much better. I don't know how to do this. I'm too young. I don't know how to say things. I don't know how to express things. This and that." And our eyes. And what at that point in time, where are our eyes? Our eyes are on ourselves. The Lord wants us to get our eyes off of ourselves, and that's why we have this table, as it said, to bring it to remembrance, to refocus us, that our eyes are on the King. As Isaiah said, "My eyes have seen the King," and praise God. And Jeremiah, his eyes saw the King. And this is how the Lord comes in. And it's a big lesson we learn from Jeremiah, not looking at ourselves, but looking at Him. And not only is the Lord entreating and encouraging Jeremiah, but the Lord's equipping Jeremiah. So we see here in verse 9, He comes to Jeremiah and says, "Jeremiah, I put my word in your mouth. I'm not asking you to speak your words. I'm not asking you to come up with something. I will put my words in your mouth." And he touches him. He gives that anointing. And we, praise God, Jeremiah was available. And when we, and to me, this is one of the things that is so precious about Jeremiah, is that he was available for the Lord to train him. And are we available? When the Lord calls us, when He's putting us aside, when He touches us, are we there? Are we available for Him to really come in and to train us? And see how He, as He trains us, He equips us. And He calls us to service. He's not calling us to serve in our own strength and our own power. But it's through what He has done. This is how the Lord has equipped us. And not only does He equip us, but He empowers us, just as He empowered Jeremiah. As we look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 15, He gives two stories there, one of the almond rod and one of the boiling pot. And the second one, the boiling pot, He's telling Jeremiah, your message is going to be a difficult message. The story of the almond, we'll read verse 11, and it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'What do you see, Jeremiah?' And I said, 'I see a rod of an almond tree.'" Now, we remember how in the Old Testament, that time when the Lord had the various ones get those rods and put them before the altar. And whose rod was it that blossomed the next day? It was Aaron's rod. This budding rod, this rod speaks of resurrection life. We're going forth. Jeremiah was going forth. We go forth serving the Lord in the power of resurrection life. We're not going forth in our own strength, in our own energy, in our own desire. But as He empowers us, we go forth in that power of His resurrection life. And this is why it's so wonderful that we can say, "Not I, but Christ," that I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And in that power, even when there's a difficult message, there's that resurrection power of His life that is within us. And so we're thankful how, as you see a Jeremiah, you see the Lord's entreating him, you see the Lord's encouraging him, just like He encourages us. The Lord is there, equipping him and empowering. And the Lord has done that in a very specific way for each and every one of us also in Christ. We need to see the so great of salvation that we've been brought into, and that it would be fresh. It would be very real every day of our life. And then we come down to verse 17, because now, after the Lord has done all of this, He calls Jeremiah to respond. He calls Jeremiah to respond. As we look at verse 17 through the end of the chapter, it says, "Now gird up your loins and arise, and speak to them all that I have commanded you. Do not be dismayed before them, lest I dismay you before them. Now, behold, I have made you today as a fortified city, as a pillar of iron, as walls of bronze against the whole land. to the kings of Judah, to its princes, to its priests, and to the people of the land. And they will fight against you, but they will not overcome you. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." He calls Jeremiah to respond. And he says now, there in verse 17, you know, gird up your loins, stand up, get ready, go out. I have done all of this. I have equipped and empowered you. Now, stand up and go forth. And God has called us in that same way, in this hour, to be ready. And when He calls us, He says, now, stand. And having done all, stand and go forth in the power of my name. It's marvelous how the Lord tells Jeremiah. He says, I have made you. Now, it's interesting. At this point, Jeremiah hasn't had a lot of transactions with the Lord. This is all going on, it appears, at about the same time. The Lord doesn't say, I will make you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, walls of bronze. He says, I have made you. He's made Jeremiah this. He's made him that fortified city. That city that is so strong and defended that nothing can break into it. There's a defense. The Lord is Jeremiah's defense. He says, I've made you that pillar of iron that can stand and not be moved under any pressure. The Lord is Jeremiah's strength. The Lord is his ability to be able to stand. And he says, I have made you those walls of bronze. They can't be broken down. They're unbreakable. In that day, it was interesting because mainly just the gates were made of bronze. But he's telling Jeremiah, I've made the whole wall. The wall around your city is made of bronze. He's just reinforcing and showing him so much. And this is the marvel. Not only has the Lord equipped and done this for Jeremiah, but in the same way, He's made us. He's equipped us. He's strengthened us in a way that He is fully for us. He is our shield, our defense, our mighty fortress. That mighty fortress is our God. He has provided all of this for us in Christ Jesus. And how we need to see and know the reality of this in these days we're living in. And it's interesting, as you look at Jeremiah, we actually see God's process of training. Because we could say on God's side is where He reveals and releases His provision. Where He's revealed and released the full provision to Jeremiah. And now He's calling upon Jeremiah to simply receive and respond to that. And isn't that what the Lord has done for us? God, by His marvelous grace, He's revealed and He's released everything for us in Christ Jesus. And He's given us everything. And He's simply calling us now to receive that and to respond by His grace. Now, oftentimes, you hear people praying, I'll just pick on one, say, Lord, I need grace, I need grace. Give me grace, give me grace. And oftentimes it appears that prayer cannot be answered. And do you know why it's not? Because the Lord is saying, I've already given it to you. I gave you my Son full of grace and truth. You've got it. Receive it and respond to it. Don't take the grace of God in vain. You know, when the Lord at Calvary, when we receive Christ, He has released that grace unto us. He has become our peace. Have we received that peace? He's given us that faith. Have we received that faith and have we responded to it? He's given us everything in Christ Jesus. But have we responded to it? This is where Paul, over and over, he said he didn't want to run in vain. He didn't want to take that grace of God in vain. He wanted to respond with the equipping. And this is what the Lord is saying to Jeremiah now. I have done you. I have equipped you. I have made you this servant of mine to go forth in the power of my life. Now step out. It's time for you to step out. Many of us, we love, like in the military, we love to stay in basic training. If you've ever been in basic training, you wouldn't love to stay there. But you can't stay there. You got to get out. There's an equipping and enabling. Then you have to, everything that you've received in basic training, then you have to respond to it and you put it into action. And this is what the Lord is calling us now to Jeremiah. He's calling him to do that. And He's calling him to do it in a time that is so difficult. And He shares in these verses, He says, you know, many will fight against you. but they'll not overcome you. You know, as we look through Jeremiah's ministry, we'll see how he'll be despised and he'll be rejected. And because the Lord never promised Jeremiah an easy road. He told him from the beginning, the message you're going to be delivering is a difficult message. And everybody's going to be against you. The kings, those world rulers, the priests, all the religious rulers. Everything within the religious system is going to be against you. And in general, the people are going to be against you. But again, what was his wonderful comfort and encouragement? But I am with you to deliver you. That was the word of the Lord to Jeremiah. Because the Lord's presence with us is not based upon our worthiness, but upon his love for us. He's loved us, and that's why he's for us. And praise God, Jeremiah responded faithfully. And he goes out. But in that response, he starts to experience all of this, the rejection. Later on in Jeremiah 12, even ones within his own hometown, they're trying to kill him. They're all against him. They're hoping they can find something to trick him up with. And we see later on in Jeremiah 20 how even the high priest, they have him arrested. He's put in chains. But this is the very nature of the end time ministry. And this is what the Lord's calling us to in this day and time. And it's very difficult because we all want to be popular. We want to be accepted. That there's a denying of ourself in this and going the way the Lord has for us. Because this is the nature of such a ministry. It's interesting as you look at the life of Jeremiah and all the suffering that he went through, that when the Lord was upon this earth and he asked his disciples, you know, who do people say that I am? One of them was Jeremiah. He said, the prophet did. And one, they said Jeremiah, because they were familiar with the life that he lived. And it looked so similar to the Lord's life. Oh, would that we had that similarity in our life in the same way. But in his life, we see how the Lord spoke these things to Jeremiah in that first chapter. That as he goes through the experiences, they're no longer just a theory. It's no longer just a promise, I will be with you. But through the experiences and reality, Jeremiah comes in to experience. He experiences the very reality of the Lord being with him. He finds it out. That's how we know. We have all these problems. We have the assurance that God is with us. But it's not till we go through the fire, we go through some of the storms of life, that we can testify, the Lord is with me. I know that. It's not just something that I can quote a nice little Bible verse. But there's a reality there. And we see this in Jeremiah's life. We see, as we mentioned, Jeremiah started prophesying during the times of Josiah. And this was really the heart of his cry, because Josiah was providing a good environment for him to share. And he had a great freedom and a great liberty, and he was pouring forth the word of God to the people to call them to return to him. But then at the end of, but as we said, there's been very little response. Now, how do you think Jeremiah took this? One of the things I love about Jeremiah is we see his humanity. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20, this is really toward the end of Josiah's life. When Josiah is getting ready to depart, and some other kings will be coming in. And in Jeremiah 20, verse 7, now in the New American Standard, you have one of those, it has a little paragraph captions. And the caption on mine, it says, Jeremiah's complaint. This reads Jeremiah 20, verses 7 through 11. And listen, read these verses. I mean, just think. Now, this is this great man. Think who's saying this now. This great man of God. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou hast overcome me and prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction. Because for me, the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. But if I say I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. For I have heard the whisperings of many. Terror is on every side. Denounce him. Yes, let us denounce him. All my trusted friends watching for my fall say, perhaps he'll be deceived so that we may prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread champion. Therefore my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will be utterly ashamed because they have failed with an everlasting disgrace that will not be forgotten. As we look at Jeremiah's testimony here in this 20th chapter, if we're honest with ourselves, most of us have had this prayer at some point in time. If you haven't had this prayer, we could say you haven't been playing the game. You're sitting on the bench. But if we're involved and we're serious about following the Lord, at some point in time we come up and we're going to have some controversies with Him. As we didn't realize, even though He tells us this is ahead of us, we said, well, but I didn't realize it was going to be that bad. I didn't realize it was going to be like this. But Jeremiah, the wonderful thing about in his humanity is he's perfectly transparent with the Lord. He knows the Lord in such a way that he opens his heart. He doesn't try to hide it. And brothers, there's a great lesson there for us. In a right spirit, we can open our heart before the Lord. Lord, I don't understand why I'm going through this. That's where he's coming from. And he says, I've been faithful. I've done everything. I've declared your word. I haven't declared my word. I've been faithful to what you said, and all this is happening to me. We actually see this throughout Scripture at various times. You think of Job. He cried out this way. Elijah cried out to this way. We see him. But it speaks of a very personal, intimate relationship with the Lord that is able to cry out like this. And I love how he says, Jeremiah even came to the point and said, I'm not going to speak anymore. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to say anything. But when he tries to hold it in, he said, I'm not going to tell anybody about Jesus anymore because every time I open my mouth about Jesus, they make fun of me. They put me down. He said, but it just burns within him. That's constrained by the love of Christ. And brothers and sisters, we can't hold it in. We've got to share it. We've got to come on through and allow that love of Christ to come out. And what the Lord has called us to. As we said, the Lord might not be calling each and every one of us to walk the same path of a Jeremiah, but we're walking in the same spirit of Jeremiah. It might be different circumstances and different things, but Jeremiah, he was faithful. And we see how even in his wrestling with the Lord didn't say, okay, Jeremiah, had enough, I finished with you. No, the Lord is there encouraging, continuing on. And he, as we see, because we can read these words and it can sound light at times, but it's really, I mean, he was going through some difficult times. He said, if you look at verse 7 and verse 10, he said, you know, I hear all the whisperings about me. Everybody's mocking me. Everybody's despising me. It's horrible. They're making fun of him. They're denouncing him and everything. And he said, but who is it? He said, my trusted friends. Oh, the ones that were my closest friends, they're the ones doing this to me. Oh, and that made the hurt that much more. They're just there waiting, as it said in the end of verse 10, they're just waiting for his fall. But what's the, praise God, Jeremiah's testimony doesn't end in verse 10. But what's his testimony in verse 11? But the Lord is with me. The I am is with me. He is coming to a reality. It's not God telling Isaiah, it's not God telling Jeremiah, I am with you. It's Jeremiah saying, the Lord is with me. He has delivered me. The Lord, and he is a mighty champion, a champion that everybody dreads. He's that mighty champion that when they see the Lord, everybody fears him. And oh, what a mighty God we serve. And that he has this assurance. He knows that where the Lord had told him they will not overcome him, Jeremiah is saying in the reality now, my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. The I Am is with it. He had weathered the storm. He had gone through and allowed the Lord to keep him. And he was strong and he was strengthened in the power of the Holy Spirit within him. Strengthened in such a way that as you look down at verse 13, I mean, when you look at the beginning of these verses in verse 7, how he's complaining and crying out, and then you come to verse 13 and he says, "Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for He has delivered the soul of His needy one from the hand of evildoers." What a mighty deliverance. What a mighty deliverance that He has. And this is how the reality gets worked in us. Brothers and sisters, as we go through these trials, the teachings that we receive, the Scriptures that we know, no longer just sitting here in our head, but as we go through the reality and denying ourselves, they're within our heart. This is a heart message from Jeremiah at this time. This is his heart crying out, saying, "The Lord is with me. The Lord has delivered me. The Lord has done everything." Jeremiah's not taking any credit because he knows it was only the Lord that was his stronghold. The Lord was his fortified city. The Lord was his defense. The Lord was his shield. And this is the character and nature of a servant of God in the end times. And this is what the Lord is looking for us. You know, as we see Jeremiah, the Lord is desiring that there would be those that have that spirit of Jeremiah in the days that we're living in. Ones that really know God's heart. Ones that really know, what is God's heart? What is His heart? What is His purpose? What is His desire? And we get to know that heart by spending time with Him. That was the spirit of a Jeremiah. Ones that were willing to stand for His truth. In the midst of the opposition by the spirit of this age and the spirit of this world, they're ones that are willing to stand for His truth in the midst of the storm. That they're ones that are willing to cry and plead out and warn the people of God about the true condition. Warn the people of God of what is coming upon them and trying to wake us up. Praise God, in His loving kindness and His tender mercy is still called today. And He's calling us by His love to wake up and to respond unto Him. And He's looking for ones that will be faithful in spite of rejection and suffering. The many things that we have to go through. Sometimes as we go through and we suffer rejection, we suffer some sufferings and all, we want to just pack it up and say, "I've had enough, I can't take anymore." And that's true, you can't take anymore. But there's a life within you that can take much more. And He's desiring to prove Himself to you in every situation. And would there be those that are willing to stand for God's heart, willing to cry out the truth, willing to be the voice of the Lord in this hour, willing to not care about themselves, ones that would bring us back to Christ as the standard. Christ is the answer. There's not many standards are being established this day. Even within the religious systems, we can establish certain standards. So if you're a good Christian, you'll be at 2 meetings a week. If you're this and that, you do this. But no, the standard is Christ. And we need to be brought back. And this is the cry of Jeremiah. It would be as Paul wrote to those in Corinthians. He was jealous for them that they could return to that simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. The nation of Israel had gotten complicated. They had all of their idols and everything going on. And the spirit of this age and the spirit of Babylon that is about us this day and time, there's so much confusion. There's so much out there in the name of the Lord. But it's not of Him. And the Lord needs the ones that will cry in the spirit of Jeremiah of returning to a simplicity and purity of our devotion to Christ. Christ and Him alone. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that You have given us Your Word. Well, thankful so much for ones like a Jeremiah that were available and willing to go through the way of life that You had called them to. I'm thankful for the encouragement that they can be to us. And Lord, as we just consider Jeremiah, we're not here just to learn history lessons about a man. but we want to be able to really capture the very spirit and essence of the life of Jeremiah. As we capture that spirit and essence, it would direct us unto You. Lord, we say, as Peter did, You alone have those words of life. We return in this hour, Lord, that You would be working in a mighty way to be able to rule and overrule in the midst of everything that we're going on, and that our hearts would return unto You. In Jesus' name, amen.